Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to High Value Dating, a podcast where I talk about all things dating, love, and relationships. In today's episode, we are going to be talking all about what to do when the person you want doesn't want you back, and there is nothing you can do to change that. I'm actually going to play you a voice note from one of my followers who recently dealt with this. It's a form of rejection that had nothing to do with anything she could change, but rather just who she is as a person. Seasoned dater or a new dater, chances are you're gonna experience this if you haven't already at some point. This is just a part of dating. So stay with me if you want to know all about what to do in this type of situation. I'm Nellie Sugery, the number one dating coach and matchmaker for high value singles. I use data-driven solutions to help modern successful singles find love in today's dumpster fire dating economy. So if you're ready to meet your person and get out of the dating game for good, you're in the right place. Welcome to the High Value Dating Podcast.
Hi, Nellie. So here's my story. A little over 2 weeks ago, I decided to shoot my shot and slid into this guy's DMs. He didn't respond. Totally fine, though. And just the other day, we run into each other while grabbing lunch. And of course, I'm thinking, oh my God, it's meant to be. We proceeded to DM each other, and he responded essentially with, I don't date Persian girls, or I date white girls, or I'm attracted to white girls. He's Persian, by the way. And so when he said that, I responded in kind, like super, super sweet response to that. Fast forward another day or two. So I was shocked to learn that this man is now going and adding my friends who are white girls, beautiful white girls, and liking their stories. And by the way, she was not the only one. And I just felt disrespected, but at least have the decency to ask me or say, hey, do you mind introducing me to so-and-so? I find them attractive, instead of like being so weird about it.
Whew, wow. So obviously that is a lot to unpack. The way I kind of break up that entire voice note is a few things. So first, she dropped the handkerchief. She shot her shot, right? I always encourage women in particular to drop the handkerchief because sometimes men need that extra encouragement. But whether you're a guy or a girl, doing that, making the first move, in other words, can feel really scary because obviously the thing we all fear most is rejection, right? Not having that handkerchief picked up, not having that other person take the bait. And so in this particular situation, she did shoot her shot, but it didn't land. And that a lot of the times can make you feel really salty about ever doing that again. You're like, well, if this is my experience, why would I do this again, right? And then you kind of want to go back into your cocoon and have a mentality that, you know, someone else should be the one pursuing you, right? And that can sometimes, again, leave you in that chronic state of singlehood because if both parties are always waiting for the other person to make the first move, whether you're a guy or a girl, then you end up constantly in this dance where no one is approaching the other person, right? I think the way she went about making the first move by sliding into his DMs was forward. It was bold. It is, in my opinion, operating from masculine energy because you are essentially in your chaser mode. Now, I don't know what that message said when she slid into his DMs. And that does matter because obviously you can send a very thirsty DM or you can say, you know, hey, like your profile, curious about this. You know, there are a lot of different ways you can go about sliding into someone's DMs. I don't fault her for sliding into his DMs. Sometimes you slide into a guy's DMs and it does pan out. But we have to also acknowledge that that is masculine energy. In terms of her making the first move in person when she saw him at the grocery store, I think that that is amazing because in a lot of ways, if you don't capitalize on those in-person opportunities, then that can also make it hard for you to ever, again, see those opportunities pan out, right? We miss 100% of the chances we don't take. Let's quickly talk about how she went about dropping the handkerchief in person, though. She said something to the effect, I think she mentioned, it's your lucky day, or the universe was bringing us together, something along those lines, if I'm not mistaken. And to me, that's also very forward, right? There's a way to subtly drop the handkerchief and be in your feminine energy, ladies. And if a man is interested in you, he will take the bait if you make that move. So I don't know that I love that she said that. I probably would not have done that myself. I don't think there's anything wrong with approaching someone in person, making conversation, but very forward. And we know that men are hunters. We know that men are the ones who like to chase. So if a man doesn't want to be the one hunting you, then it's not because you are not enough. It's because he's not your man. That being said, she took it a step farther, dropped a third handkerchief, and followed him on Instagram. Also forward, also masculine energy, right? He knows how to find you if he wants you. I'm pretty sure he saw that DM. He chose not to respond. That's okay that she followed him on Instagram. But I only point these things out because when you are the one pursuing, right? In this case, I would say she was the one pursuing, and you're not getting a response to your pursuits, you are opening up the door even more for rejection, right? So it's one thing to send a DM. It's another to say something in person. It's another to follow someone on Instagram. Now, the way I broke that down, maybe that sounds like a lot. I don't think it is a lot, but if a man wants to be with you, he will find a way to be with you. I truly believe that. I do stand very firm in that stance. And I know that's controversial. You know, there are a lot of people who debate if he wanted to, he would. I think if a man wants you, he'll find a way to make it happen. And if he doesn't want you that bad. So the reason I acknowledge all of this is because I think in a lot of ways she was opening the floodgates to rejection because she was pursuing. Now, as mentioned at the beginning of this episode, we cannot expect opportunities to fall in our lap if we don't take advantage of the ones in front of us. So I think it's great that she made the first move. Do I love the way she went about it? I think she could have been a little more delicate and maybe a little bit less forward, but I don't hate it. And again, if that man really wanted her, he would have been receptive to it. So it doesn't really matter anyways. All that being said, his response to her was pretty transparent, right? It was, I am not interested in dating Persian women. Now, that can feel very offensive to anyone if they hear that because we cannot change our race. We cannot change our ethnicity. We cannot change our religion unless we, you know, opt to convert. So it's tough to hear those things. But one thing I actually will say is, how nice is it and refreshing is it to have someone be honest and transparent with you? And this is where we have to take an abundance mindset when it comes to dating and really acknowledge that the universe is always working for us, right? We could be in situations that are sometimes harder to recover from. I, for my personal experience, have been rejected countless times without any explanation, even after asking for one. And that is so frustrating because then you're sitting around wanting constant closure. So in a lot of senses, I think it's nice that he was transparent enough with her about his reasons for not picking up the bait. Does it make it easier to swallow the rejection? I don't know. I think it can still be pretty triggering, but it is nice. And I will say, you know, I've personally had to reject people for similar reasons. And out of good karma, I've told people, you know, I don't date outside of my religion, for example. And they have been very receptive to that because it isn't as personal as sometimes we interpret it to be. And I think what often happens if we don't get that closure is we start to concoct a narrative in our minds and torture ourselves with that narrative, right? We might be telling ourselves, oh, it's because I look a certain way. It's because I talk a certain way. It's because I'm not successful enough. It's because I'm not smart enough. It's because I'm not pretty enough, handsome enough. And that can make us feel really inadequate and unworthy. One of the things I really like about her in particular is she bounced back with a very positive attitude of, no, I'm a prize. I am beautiful. And I think that really speaks volumes of her confidence and her sense of self-worth. And I think that is a very attractive energy to be in. And so I commend her for that. I don't think it's bad that she shot her shot. Again, I just want to emphasize that maybe there was one of the three things she could have done as opposed to all three things. Regardless, though, again, had it been the man for her, had it been the right man, her person, he probably would have been receptive to it. And so I don't think that it's any skin off her back. And I think more women would benefit from dropping the handkerchief, for lack of a better word, and attempting to crack the door open for a man. But again, the way in which you go about that is going to depend on your boldness. It's going to depend on your confidence and also who you are engaging with, right? So it's going to vary from person to person. For myself personally, again, I'm not that bold where I would do all three of those things, but I do think it's sometimes nice to subtly flirt or to open the door and, you know, give a man the opportunity to walk through it if he wants to. So ladies, if you're listening to all this, by the way, and you're contemplating how to shoot your shot, if you should shoot your shot, how bold is too bold, the way I would break it down is this. It's going to, first of all, depend on you and how forward of a person you are. And if you have a lot of chutzpah, for lack of a better word, and charisma and confidence, then you might be more willing to. Also, if you are really intimidated by the kind of guy that you're interested in, then maybe you're going to be less bold. If you feel like this is a slam dunk, you might be more bold, right? It's going to depend on all of those factors. And what I say is drop the handkerchief once. And if he doesn't pick it up the first time, that should be your sign. Now, a lot of men are also kind of dumb when it comes to this stuff. Sometimes guys are not as good as reading the signs, but if you're pretty obvious about it, for example, you are doing what she did where you slid into his DMs. Now, obviously, if he has a million followers, then that's a different conversation. But if this is, you know, a somewhat normal dude, then he probably will see your message. And you do that and he doesn't respond, then it's probably a sign that he's not interested. Another thing that you could do if you don't want to slide into someone's DMs and you see them in person is body language, right? Striking up a conversation and being really friendly, even flirty in your body language, right? Looking into their eyes and smiling and touching your hair and laughing at their dumb jokes. Maybe they're not dumb jokes, but you know, those things men do pick up on. Another thing you could do is also subtly flirt, right? For example, she mentioned, oh, this must be the universe. I don't think that's a bad line. I think it's forward, but I don't think it's a bad line. She definitely flirted. But, you know, another way you can flirt is also just by giving a man a compliment. Men do not get compliments very often. So if you give them one, they're usually super receptive and excited by them. And it definitely will make them more interested in you, especially if he likes you to begin with. And another thing as well is being receptive to their gestures, right? If a man flirts with you and you respond to that with another flirt, then he's going to take the bait as well. Or if a man compliments you and you graciously receive that compliment, it also might signal to him that you're interested. It's very subtle. And so it's not something that there's necessarily a blueprint on how to make a move. something I personally always say to women, especially who are fearful of rejection, and men, is there are ways to start a conversation that will take the emphasis off the individual and make it a little more rejection proof. So one example of this is something I call the inanimate object opener. For example, let's say you're at a coffee shop and you see a cute guy and you want to strike up a conversation, but you don't know how. You don't want to be like, hey, what's your name? I'm Nellie and this is my favorite coffee, right? Because that can feel very robotic and kind of awkward, especially if you've never met this person. You can point something out in your vicinity. So you could say, oh, I didn't know they had blueberry muffins here. Have you tried that blueberry muffin? Do you think it's any good? Right? And then you open the door, you crack it open. And if a guy likes you and is attracted to you, he will definitely do everything in his power to keep that door open. So that's what you want to look out for as well, is are they reciprocating? In that conversation that she had with this guy at the grocery store, I don't know if he reciprocated or not. But again, if a man sees something he likes, he will, if you drop the bait, especially in a bold enough fashion, most likely pick it up. And if he doesn't, I would argue 9.5 times out of 10, maybe 10 times out of 10, it's because he's not that into you. So she did good by, again, making the first move. And one thing that he did good is he had the courtesy of being honest with her and transparent with her. Let's talk a little bit more about what he could have done differently after the break, because while it might sound like I am team the guy, I actually am not. So we'll dive in a little more after the break. Stay with me. Welcome back. Thanks for staying with me through that break. So before we cut to break, we were discussing some of the things that she did well and some of the things that she could have improved on in terms of her shooting her shot with this guy that she was attracted to. And I mentioned that I really liked his transparency with her back, even though that can be a hard message to read and a hard thing to hear, right? When you have a certain race or ethnicity or religion and you can't change it. And you're, you know, like, oh, well, I'm a great person. Why can't this person make an exception for me? And just kind of diving in a little deeper to that, I think as tough as that is to hear, it's so refreshing when someone is transparent and honest, because a lot of people in today's dating economy aren't. I can't tell you how many times I've asked someone for an explanation or closure only to have been left on read. And that's no fun, because then you're starting to fill the blanks in your mind a lot of the times with stories that are probably pretty far from the truth. Maybe it's like, hey, this person actually lied and they don't want kids and you do want kids and they know that. And so they rejected you, but you never find that out. And so in your mind, you're trying to piece together the puzzle and you're telling yourself, well, it must be because I'm tall. It must be because I'm short. It must be because I'm curvy. It must be because of how I speak, right? And again, that could be the farthest thing from the truth. So one of the things I'll encourage is if you have been rejected or you have dealt with a situation where the person you want doesn't want you back and they don't give you an explanation, the biggest mistake you can make is trying to create a narrative and tell yourself a story by filling those blanks without all the information. Instead, I think the mindset to have is to really stand strong in your convictions of, hey, I am beautiful. I am a catch. Any person would be lucky to have me. And she had that mentality. And that will actually keep you on a higher energetic vibration that will be more in alignment with the person who is meant for you. So stay on that frequency, because everything is energy. In addition to that, talking more about some of the things he did right, some of the things he did wrong. So I like that he was honest. I like that he was open. I don't think it's cool to follow someone to get closer to their friends. I think the fact that he was following several women that are in her friend group and are all Caucasian is pretty tactless. And if that happened to me and it was someone I liked and they were doing that, and I actually have been in this position before, I would be pretty salty about that. I actually had a story that I wanted to share. When I was 19, I had a huge crush on this guy. And I remember he was actually the same ethnicity to me. We were both Jewish, both part Israeli. So we had a lot in common. And in my mind, kind of like her, that would be a selling point. But it actually turned out that he liked Asian women. And I didn't know that. And I have a lot of Asian friends who are beautiful. And I remember one time he had said to me, oh, who's your friend? And it was like a dagger in my heart. Because not because my friend was Asian, obviously, but because it was him being more interested in my friend than me. And that just goes to show that everyone's got their preferences. Everyone has their own things. Sometimes people have a type, right? Not everyone has a type, but some people have a type. And we can't fault them for that. And we can't change who we are. And I think the beauty in that type of experience is you know that it's not about you. It's not personal. It's really nothing to do with anything that you could change. And sometimes, as much as that hurts because you really like that person and you wish that they wanted someone like you, taking on that perspective of thank you, universe, for showing me that this isn't my person. And thank you for giving me the clarity of why, because I don't have to torture myself with a bunch of reasons that are actually very far from the truth. And if someone wants someone like my friend over here, we'll call her Jenny or Ashley or Stacy, that's amazing because those are amazing women. But guess what? I am not any of those women. I'm not going to be Jenny. I'm not going to be Ashley. I'm not going to be Stacy. I'm Nelly. And when you recognize that your differences are what make up your beauty and what make you unique, you step into your power. But I do not love that he didn't have tact and followed her friends because he knew that she liked him. And he was insensitive to that, right? He was completely insensitive to how she might feel and also kind of dumb because if these are her friends that she's posting on her reels and in her pictures, obviously it's going to get back around to her. So I don't think that that's a very courteous move of him to make, to follow all her friends and slide into their DMs. I think it's very tactless and inconsiderate. Now, in this particular scenario, he didn't follow one friend. He wasn't pursuing one friend. He was doing this at mass, right? He was following a bunch of her friends. But let's say, hypothetically, and this is not uncommon, the person you like likes your friend or even your sister or your brother, right? What do you do then? Well, recognize that if someone is choosing someone else over you, it's because they're not your person. You never want to be someone's second choice. You deserve to be someone's first choice. And your great love story exists. It's out there. Your person is never going to make you feel like a second option. I truly believe that. And so if someone is making you feel that way, whether it is conscious or unconscious, deliberate or not deliberate, right? If they're making you feel second best, like a second option, lean into that because that is the universe signaling to you that this is not the person for you. And the person for you is going to be picking you first. Now, I know that's like a weird thing to say, picking you, because there's this whole thing about pick me girls, but your person is not going to be on the fence about you. Let's put it that way. And even though it can be really disappointing and hurtful when that happens, how you claim your power, how you take back your energy is by acknowledging that if those two people are meant to be, then great, because that actually just shows that it's possible. That shows that true love exists. And if it exists for them, it exists for you. And I think that is the only mindset to have when you're in that situation. But I acknowledge that it can be a difficult one to be in. And I would also say, if this is kind of a love triangle of sorts where your friend or your sibling is somehow romantically linked to someone that you like, have a conversation. Express how you feel. But don't put people in a position where they have to choose either. I think that's wrong. I would say, hey, in full transparency, I really like Chris, or I really like Jenna, and I know that you have some feelings for them, but how would you feel about me moving forward with this connection? Because I actually think there could be something here. And I think that's the asterisk as well, is you have to ask yourself, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is this someone who is worth losing a relationship over? If you really see you and this person going the long run and the long haul, maybe it is. Maybe it is worth having that. Now, if this is just someone that you view as a fling, hit it and quit it, maybe it's not worth tarnishing your existing relationships over. Only you can ultimately answer that question. But these are things and considerations that I think need to be weighed in when you are in these types of dynamics, because this is life. And these things, you know, they might not be currently happening in your reality, but for a lot of people, that is the case, right? Circles are small. It's not uncommon for you and your friends to sometimes like the same person. If you're friends, then obviously you guys have some things in common. Although there is that saying, the best friends have different taste in men and the same taste in liquor. But that's life sometimes. And navigating these situations can be tricky. I don't know that it's her place to reach out to the guy again in this particular scenario of the voice note that I shared and acknowledge how he made her feel, because at the end of the day, that does kind of come across chasey. But if I were her, I would remove him as a follower. I would unfollow him as well. I would create a boundary. Boundaries are not for other people, guys. They're for us. And so if that's the pattern that she's seeing unfold and she doesn't like that, then one of the ways she can regain her power and control in this situation is by omitting him from her follower list. If she doesn't want to do that, that's okay. But then it's difficult to expect him to not continue following her friends. So in this situation, it's tricky, right? She did what she could. She shot her shot. He wasn't receptive to it. That sometimes happens. After the break, what I want to dive into is how we handle rejection and what the best way to go about it is and why we get rejected sometimes. Stay with me and we will talk a little bit more about that after the break. Thanks for staying with me through the break, guys. So, as mentioned, rejection is a part of life, and it's certainly a part of dating. And if we really want to put ourselves out there and meet our person, the chances of us running into rejection are going to probably be higher than the chances of us not running into rejection. The good news, though, is at the end of the day, you only need one yes. So even if you get 10 no's, as long as you get that one yes, that's all that matters, that one person who you can ultimately do life with. And the point of me sharing that is to also emphasize that getting comfortable with rejection and recognizing that, hey, this is probably going to happen more times than not, is going to make you a better dater. It's going to make you more resilient. And it's also going to ensure that you're managing expectations. You know, if you're not used to rejection and you get rejected, it is so easy to feel very disappointed and fall on your face. Now, even if you are comfortable with rejection, sometimes you get rejected by the person you really, really like. And then you come shooting down 10 stories like, oh, cannot get past this, can't get over this. This was my person. And here's what I'll say to you. If that is your person, they'll find a way back. I truly believe that. If that person and you are meant to be, they will find a way back. Sometimes, though, you know in your heart of hearts that the person for you is never going to reject you the first time around. And it's more a matter of mourning what could be and the moments that you didn't have and the potential than the person themselves. And that's tough, right? When we are essentially grieving what the potential in someone was as opposed to who they were, that can even be more painful sometimes than breakups, because potential is limitless, right? You can romanticize an amazing future with someone, but we have to go off of who that person showed up as, right? If you only went on a couple dates with this person and they started to love bomb you and tell you all the sweet nothings and you started to romanticize your life with them, then obviously it's going to be tough if that person rejects you. But again, we have to go back to what we have evidence of, and that is who this person is. Now, another thing I'll add is the more you date, the more you'll realize that people will sometimes tell you what you want to hear, and they will not show up that way in the end. I personally have been love bombed. I have dated people who have promised me moon, the stars, Disney World, all the things, and told me, oh, we're going to have this awesome future, only to leave me in the dust, you know, days or weeks later. And that's really tough to bounce back from. But the more you date, the more you will start to actually notice those things as a red flag. If someone is promising you a lot in the beginning, I think that's a massive glaring red flag. You want to instead look for the person who is taking things slow, who is being patient, who is more of a slow burn. You know, don't look for fireworks, look for a fireplace. But again, sometimes you have that fireplace and that person still rejects you, and it's tough. It's tough to move on. But ask yourself, what is it that hurts the most? Is it the potential? Is it that you don't think you can do better than this person? Is it that you don't have any other options, right? When we do that data analysis within, we can actually pinpoint the areas we need to work on the most. For example, I remember getting rejected by this guy who I thought was incredible. I had definitely put him on a pedestal. And the reason I put him on a pedestal was because I did not have myself on a pedestal. And so the work that I needed to do, and actually the beauty and blessing of rejection sometimes, is it offers us the opportunity to become a better version of ourselves so that we're actually more prepared for the person we're meant to be with. So in that case, I was like, oh, I'm putting him on a pedestal because I view him as having something that I lack. So instead of seeking that lack in someone else to fulfill, I need to fill that void within myself first. So I started to really do the healing work. I started to build myself up from the inside out, work on my sense of self-worth, my sense of self-confidence, my internal concept, my external concept, right? If I felt like, hey, I really like this guy because he's in amazing shape and I don't feel like I'm in amazing shape, and having someone who's in amazing shape next to me makes me feel more confident, then the solution naturally is I need to get in better shape. Or if it's like, hey, I really like this person because they're super successful and wealthy and I want a certain lifestyle and I think they can provide that for me, that's the solution. I need to provide myself with that lifestyle first. I need to unlock the things that I've clearly suppressed within myself that make me feel like I cannot be financially abundant on my own. Or maybe it's like, hey, this person's really hot and I feel really ugly and I want someone who's really hot because that makes me feel prettier, makes me feel more attractive. And then you got to work on that too. Or maybe it's like, hey, this person's really confident and I'm really insecure and I want to be around that confidence. And without their confidence, I feel more insecure. That's the unlock. Okay, I need to work on building up my confidence. What's going to make me feel more confident? Speaking to myself better, talking about myself in a different way, seeing myself in a new light. Why am I looking at them as the prize and me as, you know, the lucky one here to have that prize? No, I'm the prize. They'd be lucky to have me, right? There is so much work that can be revealed in rejection when it comes to how we see ourselves. And that is the beauty of being sometimes let down in these types of dating situations, is it enables us to put ourselves on a path that makes us stronger. And as cliche as that quote is, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, it's so certainly true. Another thing too with rejection is a lot of the times it's redirection. And we don't always know why we're being redirected. But I truly believe in trusting in the divine timing of your life and the unfolding of your life. And I also believe that we're always being divinely guided toward what's meant for us. And sometimes we cannot see that right away. Sometimes it takes falling down 10 flights of stairs in dating in order for us to realize that actually we're on the wrong staircase. We gotta move here instead. And then what happens is we make that transition and boom. Right there is the person we're meant to be with, and they end up being better. And that's another thing too to add, is when it comes to someone you want not wanting you, you have to take on the mentality and the attitude of, if it's not this person, it will be someone better for me. Those are the only two options. Those are the only two options. It's never this person or worse. It's always this person or better. When you take on that attitude, you step into abundance. You step into a half glass full perspective and the universe will respond to that energy. So it's really critical that you start thinking about rejection in a different way, in a more positive way, and acknowledge that things are not happening to you, things are happening for you, right? Even that thing that you really, really want, that job opportunity, that school that you want to get into, that guy or girl that you want to like you, if that doesn't pan out, then really owning that it's not the right time or it's not the right opportunity, I think is how you truly will manifest what you want even quicker. I've been rejected a lot in life, not even just in love, in career, in academics, but I can look back on that now, many years and months later, and confidently say, thank God it didn't work out with that guy. Because had it worked out with that guy, I probably still would have been in Canada in a small town. Or had it worked out with that job, I probably never would have the career I have today. Or had it worked out with that school, I probably would be doing something I didn't really like with my life. And so everything is always fitting into a puzzle that we don't always see. Trust in your journey. Be grateful for the situations that are not currently coming onto your path because they are making room for the ones that are meant for you. Have the attitude of gratitude. And also, if none of that sticks, know that time will heal all. So yeah, it could take a week to get over this person. It could take a month to get over this person. It could take a few months to get over them, or even a year or a couple of years. But you were okay with you. You were okay before you met them. So you will absolutely be okay after you met them. And use the time you have now to focus on self-improvement and manifesting opportunities that are meant for you, choosing people who are choosing you. And again, if that opportunity is really meant to be in your life, it will find its way back. You're not going to have to force it. You're not going to have to control an outcome. Okay? I hope this was all helpful. Again, I want to emphasize that this is very common in dating. And like I said earlier, guys, you just need one yes. So even if you get a lot of no's, one yes is all you need from the person that you also say yes to. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to give it a rating on whichever streamer you're listening to it on, whether it's Spotify or Apple, or if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye.